Welcome to Inspiring Women with ADHD. I'm Renee Allen, the host of this podcast. Happy to be here. It's a little later in the day, so I feel like the lighting's really weird because it's all artificial. There's hardly any coming in through the window. But I always have to explain this, the setting, even though most of you are listening on audio. But then you can just picture it. It's getting a little darker out. But I want to talk to you, speaking of distractions of my own brain, I want to talk to you about distractions today because there are a lot of distractions in life. And I had a day today where I was going down a shopping rabbit hole. I don't know if you get in those slumps where you just start looking for stuff online and then you keep looking and you keep looking and you keep looking and then you just keep looking and you just search for one thing. In my case, it's a pink dress or maybe a floral skirt that's pink. And the reason is my daughter is having a bridal shower. Her soon-to-be mother-in-law is throwing a bridal shower for her at the end of June. So I still have over a month and a half. And I bought a dress for Mother's Day and thought, oh, I could wear this to the bridal shower. And then I got the invitation and it says wear something pink, any shade of pink or something like that. I got that last night. And then it just switched everything because I wasn't even going to think about wearing something new to begin with. But then I bought this dress, but it's more of a periwinkle floral dress. So that doesn't work. It's not pink. So this morning I woke up and it's like eyes open, go to the computer and start looking for pink things. And I don't want to spend a ton of money. And then, you know, how would it fit? And I'll order two different sizes and all this stuff. Anyway, I ended up deciding to go on a used website instead, like Poshmark or Mercari. Anyway, did that until I went and taught yoga, came home, taught yoga again on Zoom, and then scrolled and looked for another 2 hours. And I found a dress, but I want to make sure the measurements are right first because I'm buying it used and I can't return it. So anyway, it's dumb. Will it even fit? I don't know. But that was the rabbit hole I went down, and it took up at least 3 hours of my day today. Not my favorite thing to do, but it's happened before. I think I mentioned the cowboy hat shirt, a search that I had a year or two ago. Didn't end up buying a cowboy hat. I finally told myself to drive to Boot Barn and try some on. I didn't like any of them. I didn't even buy one. But we were going to a rodeo, so I thought I needed one. And I went to the rodeo without it. I didn't need it. But it was this big obsession, and it's what kept me busy. Which, speaking of that, I'm just seeing if the person from Poshmark ever wrote me back. No, she didn't. She sent me an offer. Have you been on Poshmark? Usually I send somebody an offer, you know, like they list it for whatever price and then I offer something a little bit lower. But this time she sent me an offer, which is wonderful, but I'm asking a question about another measurement and she hasn't written back. And I don't know if I'm finding the messages in the right place, but I'm going to try not to go down this rabbit hole because that is a distraction, right? So we see this distraction, can't say that word, and it takes us away from something else that we'd rather be doing, should be doing, could be doing, all those things. And distractions are often come from our computers. It's really easy to get on your computer and just check an email or just decide I have to order light bulbs or whatever it is. And you get super distracted. And then do you come back? I don't know. Do you come back? How do you come back? Well, I have a few tactics. I didn't use very many of them today, but I thought about it afterwards. And I thought some of these episodes are self-driven. Some of them are things that I've learned or researched, but this one is one that I could use as well. And I've done it before, but it's time to implement it again. And if you have something in mind that you want to get done, and sometimes that can be the problem, right? You can't determine what the priority is. And so instead of dealing with that decision and deciding what that priority is, you end up doing something else because you can't make a decision or you're not sure how to do what you want to do, or you've worked on it before and you weren't very successful. And There can be a lot of things that get in the way of you actually working on what you need to get done or focusing on something that's simple. Maybe it's something that you know how to do, like laundry or exercise. And any of these things, I just had a little brain glitch. I knew what I was talking about, but sorry about that. I just saw a car drive by. Speaking of a distraction, I got to close the window or something. And it just took my brain somewhere else. Anyway, distractions come in different forms. And sometimes it's from somebody else. Today, I want to talk about the ones that are us. So the distractions that are other people, sometimes that can't be helped. You might have like a car just drove by. I can't help that, right? That's something that affects me and I have to get back on track. So I did that. Or you might have somebody come ask you a question. You might have children that you're taking care of and they are part of the priority too. So even though they might be distracting you from making dinner or making a grocery list or ordering groceries online, whatever that is, you deal with the distraction. You actually shift gears. It doesn't have to be like you look at that person like, oh, you're a distraction. But if you want to get back to what you're doing, you recognize, okay, that took me away from what I was doing, and now I'm going to get back. And you just see the shift and go back to where you were. Sometimes you might forget where you were. The working memory can just take whatever we were doing and take it away. And if you have a computer out and you're on your computer, you might see it again and remember what it was. If you write down what you need to do, you might remember what it was. So if you tend to forget things and it's important to do something, then giving yourself a note, writing down, sometimes I do this, I put a post-it note on the top of my laptop as I shut it, so I remember what I need to do when I open it back up. Or I remember what to do once I open it up, because I might open it up and it might come to a window that I used to be on, and then I forget why I went on there. It's like walking in another room and forgetting why you went in there. So having a little post-it note, a sticky note, whatever you call them, or a notebook next to you with the item or the three things that you want to get done while you're on your computer can be really helpful, because you totally can forget. Today, I got a package in the mail. Is for my daughter for Mother's Day. And she has ADHD too. And she told me, which could happen to anyone, but she ordered something from Etsy and she accidentally sent it to my old address where I lived almost four years ago in California. Now I'm on the other side of the country. So I don't know how she remedied that. I don't know if she contacted the seller in time or if she just bought something different. But she told me, oh no, now it's not going to get there in time. So I don't know how that worked out for her. I haven't asked her all the details, because I asked her if I needed to contact the neighbor and have them go over. I don't know how to contact the new owners of the house, but I know the next door neighbor. She said, no, don't worry about that. But anyway, the new package came in today and I got it and I thought, oh, I know what this is, because it said to Marma, and that's what my grandchildren call me. So I thought, oh, this is the gift from my daughter. So I went to open it up, and it's that kind of package that's, it's not a padded envelope. It's not a paper envelope. It's more of that plastic, I guess, but it's stretchy plastic. Do you know what I mean? Like, so if I were just to rip it open, it didn't have the perforated edge near the top, which some of them do, and you can open it like that pretty easily. And then if you want to reuse the envelope, which a lot of times I do, if you want to reuse it, it's all stretched out and weird, and you try to tape and it's all funky. So I thought, I'll get up and get some scissors. So I got up to get some scissors. Well, an hour and a half, 2 hours later, like after I went and started looking at the pink dress again on my computer, I went in the kitchen to get something to eat and I saw the package. And I thought, oh, that's my package. Like, my memory is so bad that I forgot what she gave me. You know, I remembered that it was a gift from my daughter, but I thought, I forgot what it was, which might sound really weird, but if your working memory has such dysfunction as mine has in the past few years, then that is possible. I order things a lot of times, they come in the mail and I don't remember what they are. And so I'm surprised. Like, and then I go, oh yeah. And I have a memory of it. So I thought it was that kind of thing. Not like, like if I saw it, I wouldn't remember that I'd seen it, but it was just, it was gone from my brain. So I thought, I don't even remember what I opened. And then I went over and looked at the package. I hadn't opened it. I took it over to the other side of the kitchen to get a pair of scissors. I don't know what happened in between that and leaving the kitchen and getting on my computer in my bedroom. Yeah, I really don't. I think I went and sat down at the table and made a phone call. I actually did something important that I had to do with some billing stuff. And after that, I went in my bedroom. Anyway, I don't know how I got distracted from getting the scissors, but then I just thought, 2 hours have gone by. I forgot that I had a package in the mail for my daughter for Mother's Day. And I opened it and it was great. Anyway, I don't think you're interested in what I got, but if you are, let me know. Anyway, so yeah, working memory can get in the way. Distractions, our own brains can be our biggest distraction. You can have a lot of outer distractions, and those can be pretty big distractions too, but you can control those. They're all manageable, but you can change your environment. Like if you need to work on something on your computer and where you live, it's too noisy. Like when I was in college, a lot of people couldn't get themselves to study in their apartment. So they went to the library because it was quiet there. My daughter, when she was in high school, she would go to a coffee shop. She'd meet at Starbucks or something with her friends and they'd have study groups or just go there with one friend and work quietly together. And I did that a bit after I started teaching yoga. I'd meet other yoga teachers or other people starting their little businesses and we'd just go and work together. We'd talk for a little bit and then get a lot of work done. And even though we were in an environment where there could be sound and noise and stuff, it wasn't the distractions of responsibility. In your own home, if you're trying to get other things done, you might be distracted by all the other things that need to be done or the people in the home. So if you get away from people that you know or anyone that's not your friend that's also getting work done, then it might be more distracting for you. So you can often remove yourself from an environment or switch your environment or go to a different room, and it might be really helpful. Those are, for me anyway, easier fixes. And especially now that my kids are grown, I don't have little ones to manage. If that were the case, if I have little ones to manage, then of course I have to really plan out when I get things done, either when they're not here or that I can do it while I'm managing them at the same time. And I'm sure you've done that too. But back to your own distractions. I want to simplify this a little bit because there are a lot of directions you can go with this, like your own thoughts that just come up, you know, having ideas or thinking or questioning yourself, like I should do this instead. Hopefully, once you get to work on something, you're not going to get up and bounce around, but that can happen, especially if things happen like you get hungry and then you go in the other room or you need to go to the bathroom. And so if you can prepare yourself as much as you can in the first place, have a drink ready. I've got my little smoothie right here, and make it so you have you don't have the need to get up. But if you're trying to get something done where you're moving around, then that might be a little trickier. But for me, if I'm moving around the house and I have an earbud in and the sound from whatever podcast or show or whatever it is I'm listening to, for some reason, that continuity of having that one thing keeps my brain on the same track of what I'm working on, instead of my own ideas coming in like, oh, I'm in here now. Oh, I'm in here now. Today, I didn't have an earbud in when I was doing all that online shopping. And it might sound like that's not helpful to have somebody else's conversation, like a podcast or a TV show or something on in my head, but it really does stop my own brain from disrupting me. It's a bigger disruptor. But there are times that, you know, you really have to concentrate and you really can't listen to whatever you're listening to in your earbud. So that, you know, can be its own kind of distraction. But what I want to talk about today is not really managing your own thoughts, but managing outer things that can come in through digital devices. So if you need to get something done, but you have your phone near you, or if you're working on your computer, it's very, very easy to open another tab, right? To work on something else or to look up something because you have a question and then get lost in that and away from what you're doing. And it's also really easy just to let all the things outside of you, like all the people in your life who may be wanting to communicate with you, to let that infiltrate into your day. And it can be a great part of your day. I'm so grateful for digital communication because I moved across the country away from all my friends and relatives. I only had one relative on the East Coast when I moved here and zero friends. And I have a lifetime of friends and relatives on the other side of the country. So I'm super grateful to be able to text, email, send audio, what do they call them, voice notes or Marco Polo videos or WhatsApp. You know, there's so many possibilities. I'm super grateful for that, but I could easily do that all day long and I shouldn't. I need to get other things done. So knowing that, I have to come up with a solution of how do I not let that interfere? How do I fit that into my life, but at the same time, not let it keep me from accomplishing what I need to get done? How can I simplify, have a day where I'm simplifying distractions, digital distractions? And sometimes it's not just you can silence your phone. My phone's actually pretty much always on silent, unless I'm expecting a call from somebody, which doesn't happen very often. But like if I'm calling a doctor's office and they have to call back, I'll turn it on. But that's like once a week. If that, most of the time I have it off. And if I wear my Apple Watch, which I don't always remember, I'll see if something comes in. But even that kind of bugs me because it can be a distraction. And my brain needs all the help it can get. I don't need distractions. And then if you're a people pleaser or if you have a lot of people to take care of, there is, and when I say take care of, I don't mean like your children that you need to pick up from school. Yeah, you should have your notifications on if your child needs you to, and they're sick and the office is trying to call you. If I was in this digital age that I am now and my children were little, I would need to come up with a different system. But for right now, since I figure anybody who really needs to get in touch with me, if they really do, they can tell somebody else in my life and they can come knock on my door and tell me, or they can find my iPhone. You know how you can do that and you can make an alarm system, sound come off on your phone. My family members can find me that way. Someone can find me if they need to, but my brain needs all the help it can get. So I have my notifications off. I don't always think like now that I've got, texts on my, yep, here comes two of them. I just checked my text app. I have a text app on my computer. I didn't used to have that. Now that I have that, I can be alerted to text any time of the day, even if I don't have my phone near me. And sometimes losing your phone can be helpful because you can think 3 hours went by and I got so much done and, oh, where's my phone? And then you find your phone and you think, oh, I have so many notifications. Sometimes that can bring guilt because you feel like I should have been available. It's been 2 hours and I didn't respond to this person. That's okay. We need to learn to let go of the guilt because we don't always have to be available for everybody. It would be nice to be available for everyone, I guess. I mean, I would like to. I feel like I would like to give people answers as soon as they have a question. But everyone has their lives. And recognizing that you should have some kind of boundary for yourself, or at least permission to yourself that you don't have to be on call. Because if you're on call all the time, you think of a doctor with a pager, they're on call and they have to just answer that call, or a firefighter. I used to teach yoga to firefighters. That scanner goes off, they hear it and they're gone. And one of the reasons that yoga is a successful program for them is because their nervous systems are just, you know, they're just always on alert because they're used to having to jump in the middle of the night, to jump, to wake up and to help people on their 48-hour shift. And it's not healthy to live like that all the time. And thankfully, they don't have 48, you know, their 48-hour shifts aren't a whole week unless it's fire season or something and they're working overtime or something. But it can take a toll on their bodies. It can take a toll on your body, and it can make it harder for your brain to function during the day. So if you're always just, oh, what's this? You're not going to be able to think as clearly. You're not going to be able to get things done. Your life is going to be more chaotic. And so having some boundaries with your texts and saying, it's okay, I just saw I have two texts. I want to answer that, but I can answer it later. And if I forget and I go to bed tonight and I haven't answered it, and you know, a lot of times I remember a text I haven't answered at midnight once all the lights are off, it's okay for me to wait till morning. You know, we know what the emergency situations are, and most of these aren't emergency situations. So simplifying the digital distractions is really important, and having some kind of structure in your life of this is when I'm going to answer emails, this is when I'm going to work on this. I might look at texts throughout the day, but I can't always just stop and answer. I can't be on call all the time. And seeing that, do I want that to be the pattern in my life? Maybe it's okay. Maybe you're in an era or season of your life where you can do that, and that's all right. And there are days that I'm like that too. And it's actually a nice social connection to be able to just sit and for a half hour text back and forth with a friend and discuss things that we hadn't even planned on discussing. That can be fun. But if it's our pattern and it's getting in the way of life, then that's when we need to address it and see, what do I need to back up on? What do I need to turn off for a while? A lot of people unplug from their digital devices. You know, like they go camping or RVing or something and they're out of range and they're not able to be in touch with people. That's how traveling used to be for everyone. We didn't take our phones with us because we didn't have phones that could leave our house. And we went on vacation and we were truly out of touch, and it was okay. Maybe you'd call home or something to see how people are doing partway through your trip or something, but really you didn't know until you got home, and you didn't share how your trip was till you got home. It was totally different than now. Everything's so instant. It really is. It's kind of crazy. But yeah, just figuring that out. And sometimes you even have to make a sign or a poster or something for yourself to really keep it simple, to go to those, whatever the rules are. An example that first taught me this is years ago when I was decluttering, I was going through my closet, and for years, I always got rid of things. I loved getting hand-me-downs from people, and I loved getting rid of clothes and giving them away or giving them to a thrift store or to relatives or something or friends. And a particular time in college, I was having a hard time making decisions because I'd gone through a lot of weight fluctuations in college where I gain weight, lose weight, but more so gain weight, lose weight. And I held on to clothes that didn't fit, that I would hopefully, you know, the whole thing of, it was a different mindset of, I'm going to fit in these jeans again. I'm going to be able to, you know, fit in these jeans that I couldn't get my legs to fit in anymore, or, you know, or whatever. It wasn't a healthy mindset, but it was how I lived for quite a while of holding on to what, like, I'm not happy unless I wear these jeans. And so I'm going to hold on to them so I can, I mean, I was happy, but you know what I mean? Like happy with my body. And this one day when I was going through clothes, I wrote a list, and this is before social media told me, you know, gave me ideas for decluttering, but it was, does it fit? Do you like it? Did it cost a lot? It doesn't matter. You know, all those things. Sometimes you think of the things that come up in your head And those are the things that you have to write and tell yourself, give yourself the message so when it comes up, you know, like, oh, but I'll wear it later. Nope, it says on my list, it doesn't fit, get rid of it. You know, it's my list of, you know, if it was expensive when you bought it, that's okay. The money's already spent. You know, whatever those messages were, seeing it on a big poster board, like a typical poster board you buy at the dollar store or something, really helped me. And so I've done that since, that sometimes I've had to write on my door, like, don't go to the store, don't get on your computer, don't answer the phone, don't answer a text, don't get on social media. You know, whatever it is, those things, just keep going, just keep going. And knowing that you can do those things later can be helpful. And your list may be different than mine. Maybe you do need to answer emails. Maybe that is part of what you need to do. But having a little note right next to your computer that's a little reminder can be helpful, because it's just too easy to go off track. And then all of a sudden it's getting dark and you're thinking, ah, another day went by. Do you ever feel like that? Another day went by and I didn't do this. And it's not a good way to feel. And maybe I'm the lone person that has more things in my head of what I need to do than most. But that, yeah. Yeah, you have to think of, who am I filling my day with that I can let go of today? Like, who do I feel like I have to include? And you know, the guilty part of me always thinks, oh, this feels bad. But I can give myself permission to not think about this person today so I can be more solely focused. I can give myself permission to not think about cleaning today so I can focus on this. I can give myself permission to not focus on whatever it is. What can you let go of? Who can you let go of? Not forever, unless you really need to forget somebody forever, but who you can let go of, what you can let go of, so you have fewer distractions. And even though that may seem like an outer distraction, it's internally driven. Like, that text can come in, but unless you look at your text, you won't see it. So that you can control whether you see it or not. And in doing this, I'm trying to stop myself from apologizing. Like, honestly, when people say to me, I'm so sorry, it took me so long to text back, or it took me so long to call back or email back or whatever it is. And most of the time I think, I forgot I even texted you. Like, don't even worry about it. Like, that was a week and a half ago. I just had it in my mind to ask you this question. I didn't really need the answer, or I wanted to tell you this, or, you know, it was more like something that was on my mind then, and it wasn't so imperative that I needed to hear back. With the people, the here and now in my life, we need to hear back more. Like, if I'm going to watch my grandchildren, I might need to know, does it work for me to pick them up tomorrow? You know, that's something that has more of a time commitment. And there are things like that, right? So it's just distinguishing that. But for the others, I'm trying to not always lead with an apology, to not always feel guilty about things. I know it makes me feel a little awkward when people are just like, oh, so sorry. And I'm thinking, it really doesn't matter. Please, like, don't feel like you have to apologize. You're busy. I respect that. And what you have to do, that's okay. I don't need to be the priority here. And I think that we need to see that for ourselves too, that we don't have to always prioritize other people and then have that get in the way of what can make our life better, more together, help us make money, whatever it is that we need to do, help us take care of our home, our surroundings. There's so much. There isn't there so much. I'm starting to feel like, I mean, we have a big, 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 big yard. I mean, I don't even think I can call it a yard. We have we have 5 acres. I don't have to take care of all of it, but I'm starting to feel like, you know, that condo life that people say when you sell your house and live in a condo, you don't have to manage anything. And yeah, there's a lot to manage. There's not enough hours in the day to manage it all. I either have to pay people or scale down, I think. And I feel blessed for having the option, for sure. But, and I'm sure we won't move to a condo anytime soon. But that thought has crossed my mind. My husband works with a lot of tools and fixes cars and things, so condo life isn't really workable. When we first got married, we lived in LA, Glendale, Pasadena, if any of you live down there. And we lived in an apartment in Glendale and Pasadena. And I don't know how he worked on cars, but he did, like in the garage underground. But it wasn't like here. It's like here he's painting cars and has a lot of tools. Then it was, the tools were in our apartment. And sometimes they were out there. But the longer you live, you acquire more in your hobbies and or what you need to make money. You know, it all grows and grows and grows. But it's a lot to manage, huh? So anyway, yeah, some days you might need to just have a soul focus, you know, or maybe three things that you need to get done. And then put on those blinders like, you know, the horses in the movies or whatever, that they can't see anything else. And sometimes when you do see the other things, then instead of having the blinders on so you don't see the other things, you have your little list that tells you the only things you're supposed to see, which means let go of the other things. So anything isn't those three things or those two things or that one thing, those things can just wait. Or you can ask somebody else to do them. Wouldn't that be nice? Anyway, I think this is going to be it for today. I'm not always having the longer podcast episodes, but eventually I have an email, speaking of emails, that I've been drafting to different women who asked if they could be on the podcast. And I'm really excited about it, but I haven't had the time or the focus, and I don't always remember to get that all scheduled. And I can't schedule it all at once. That's probably part of my problem. But eventually when I have them on one by one, and right now I have over 30 that I'm in touch with or going to be in touch with. So if you're one of them, just know it's coming. But eventually I'm going to have some more guests on the show. I've only had a few, very, very few, and not even any this year. And it'll be exciting, and they'll probably be longer episodes. Not that you're asking, but just if you're curious why it's not consistent. Sometimes my topic is more 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 40 minutes. Sometimes it's an hour, and I enjoy it all. I hope you do too. You fit in what we can fit in, huh? And don't fill it with fluff if I don't have anything more to say. The funny thing is, though, is whenever I finish, about an hour later, I think of something else. In fact, the episode that I recorded earlier, the last one about appreciating yourself and thinking of the things that you did that were fantastic or that you do that are great, giving yourself credit for what you do do, I thought afterwards, I address more of that with kind of the errors we make or the mistakes we make. And I hope you understood too that it also applies to what you get done or what you don't get done, or how well you get something done or not get something done. Like even I could look at the last podcast, and I do that at the end. I see things like, oh, I should have fixed this, or, oh, I should have said that, or whatever. And I recognize that you don't know any of that that's in my mind afterwards, right? And so hopefully you're not seeing those things, but it's how I improve, and it's how I keep learning every time I think of something else. And it gives me a way to keep improving, and also to learn to let go, because I'm always going to think of more. That's just how my brain is. And so just appreciating that, even back to last episode, that, and tying it in with this one really, that if you aren't able to fully focus one day, but you focused on quite a bit and you weren't able to let go of all the distractions that came up in your mind, but you did way better than you did last week, that's an improvement. Or even the fact that you tried, or even the fact that you got set up for it. Sometimes I have just the time to set up for whatever it is I want to work on, but I don't have time to actually work on it. That is part of the process. And appreciating every effort you make, and appreciating the gifts that you have and what you do is really important. You need to you need to boost yourself up when you can. And it's not a false boosting. It's recognizing what really is, but we tend to think of the negative, or we tend to notice the things that probably nobody else is noticing, or just make our burdens greater and put a lot of pressure on ourselves. And we live in a world where people get a lot of great things done. We see the success stories. We see what people do that are fantastic. And it's not just the Instagram stuff. And that can be overwhelming, can it? My goodness. People look so beautiful and get just such wonderful things for Mother's Day. I don't know. Oh, my goodness. Even my daughter got her engagement pictures taken in Miami last week. They are so beautiful. I'm just like, how is it possible? It's like beauty overload. And I've kind of passed my prime of having photos that would ever be that beautiful, I think. maybe it doesn't matter. But I just think, wow. So comparing, am I comparing myself with 20-year-olds? No, I should never do that. Never do that. But it's easy to do, right? So we think of how whatever it is that we're taking to the down part, we have to appreciate what is. And really, at this age, I'm appreciating more my health and ability to do things than the aesthetics of it all. For sure. But anyway, I just got off on some tangent there, didn't I? Am I still recording? I hope so. Oh, goodness. So yeah, simplify your distractions or reduce your distractions, but especially just the digital ones. Think of how you can do that. Sometimes I've taken apps off of my phone just to make it so I don't pull them up, because I can do that. You know, like, oh, I'm just sitting here, I'll pull up Reddit. Oh, I'm just sitting here, I'll pull up. And honestly, I've gotten bored with a lot of them. They're getting monotonous. But I do like to stay in touch with some people. And Facebook seems to be the way that I see the most old friends, but I really see like 3 or 4 people and then I get off. So, but that's 3 or 4 people. So I do love that. But anyway, okay, I'm going to let you go. Thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. Share my podcast with a friend. If you think of anybody who might enjoy listening to this podcast, share it with 1 or 2 friends or 3 or 4. I don't care. I don't have a preference. And if you haven't left a review, leave a 5-star review. I would appreciate it. I don't have that many reviews, but 1 4-star can make a difference of making it look not as good as a 5-star rating. And the more reviews you have, the lower ratings don't make as big of an impact. Does that make sense? But what's funny is every once in a while, somebody will leave a 0 or 1-star rating. And then have you ever seen this like on a review? Because I'll click on both. If I go to buy clothes or something, I'll think, well, what did the 1-star people say? And sometimes they'll just say, oh, it arrived broken or something like on Amazon. I think, oh, okay, that doesn't count. I mean, it might if they didn't pack it right, right? I've bought books before and they arrive all bent up because they didn't package it right. So that is good to know. But sometimes I've noticed that they get confused, like thinking that the lowest is the highest. And then it's like, love it, absolutely wonderful. And then it's like the 1-star and you're like, oh. But somebody told me that people do that so people will see their rating. Because then it's at the bottom. I shouldn't give you ideas. Just give me a 5-star rating if you can. And that would be great. That'd be super great. I guess that's it for now. Thank you for being here. And I will be back. Bye.
Help other women find the show. Rate, review, share with someone you know. Help other women find my show. Rate, review, share with someone you know.
Hurry before you forget.
Open windows, broken shadows. Frozen dreams are left for tomorrow. Without a cause. No time for a pause.
bum ma da ma da ma da. Silence of sound has yet been found, but not by me.